Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Shabbat Shalom. Yes, thank the Most High. We're back again. Yes, back again, my brothers and sisters, for another episode. Another very blessed episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Meow of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, welcoming you again to the show. Thanking the Most High for every year that He brings near. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. Thankful for this opportunity to speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words, again, for the blessing of our people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, that he has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. He told me because of what I must do, He told me in advance that I would accrue some very powerful friends, as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said to me that I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, the Most High has told me that I must tell you things. That I must tell you things. That men have done some everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, revert to silence, and my brothers and sisters, yes, if they could, to destroy. But we who are wise know that even if the whole world be deceived, Yah will yet be true. His word will not return to him void. That which he has declared from the beginning, he shall surely bring to pass. We must understand, therefore, then, my brothers and sisters, that it would be so much easier for us. As a people, it would be so much easier for us. We just simply were to realize what the Most High declared, even if the whole world is blind to it. Even if the whole world is less than diligent toward discerning, we are told in advance we must seek. Even if the whole world falls short of studying and seek the Most High to a measure which is approved, Yah will yet be true. Since the garden, my brothers and sisters, shamefully, since the garden, so many of us have been tricked after other aspirations, dreams, visions, ideals. Not true to divine intent. Polytheists compel men to believe that after the varied designs of a multitude of different expectations, ideals, even sense of conscience, with all these pluralities, bait, doubt, insensitivities, arrogance, and ignorance, ideals, my brothers and sisters, wrought out of selfish ambition, presumptuousness, far from divine inspiration. Many, my brothers and sisters, have believed somehow, even preferred to believe, that in a lack of knowledge, falling victim, whether aware or not, of it or not, to deceivers, the Most High simply judges one acceptable due to whatever it seems wise. Each man in his own heart. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, that is so far from the true knowledge of what is the grace of Yah. Most High declared from the beginning a plan. He will not be destabilized by the imaginings of men. No matter how many devils believe and teach a lie, the grace of Yah is that he reveals what indeed is his plan, that we might prepare wisely. I repeat, the grace of Yah is that he reveals what is his plan, that we might prepare wisely. But how do you think it is that in this world there are those who are believing even now in some, 45,000 denominations calling themselves believers, some say Christians, across 19 world religions, all manner of differing ideals that men dare to even call, have dared to call somehow, some way, sons of the promises of Abraham. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you, Abraham's true children, like Abraham, believe the truth of Yah, even that the whole world has rejected or sought to deny. True children of Abraham, being called by Yah, believe him. I said, believe him. In spite of all the misimaginings, I said, in spite of all the misimaginings that many in a wayward world have thought to deem true, you need to watch out for these hired speakers that you call pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, imams, whatever, my brothers and sisters. For so many of these, concerning that they can be paid, if they only comfort men in vain, comfort men in their flattery, soothsay them. According to men's imaginings. Well, they have absolutely no conscience. I remember one that actually told me that when he realized that I was, however, very, very diligently seeking, he said to me that he was going to be different and not try to run his game upon me. This was so long ago, my brothers and sisters, when I was first beginning to wake up. And he admitted full well most pastors, this job they have is a total farce and illusion. He admitted, if so many are willing to believe a lie, so many are willing to pay and buy a lie, they're willing to sell it. Sounds like to me, my brothers and sisters, if these people believe it all, they have absolutely no conscience. Again, I would ask, do people really believe? If they have no knowledge of the truth, I said, should men believe that if they have no knowledge of the truth, the Most High just simply accepts what they have believed, what they have taught, what they have abided by, what they have trusted. I see scriptures telling us we should know better. I see scripture says man should be very careful. Whatever idle or foolish word he speaks, he'll give account of it in the judgment. Does that exempt the liar? No, my brothers and sisters. By lies, men are made both victims and victimizers. Think about the principles that's at Matthew, Matthias 5:14-24. It tells us that when our sense of righteousness, our sense of conscience, our sense of justice must exceed all those who in any way deny the law and the prophets. Prophet, true prophet, is sent to speak what others would not. And then the scriptures go one step further. So think about what I'm saying. They must exceed all those who were denying anyway the law of the prophets, or we shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Which means we allow ourselves to be tricked far less than diligent enough to study to show ourselves approved, far less than diligent enough to seek the Most High that we do not lie. If we come to prefer unrighteousness, a fall victim to illusion, whereby we have not overcome the world. In some of the ways, we're still, my brothers and sisters, victimizers after the illusions of the world. And the curse is not yet broken. It's the reason why the scriptures tell us we must overcome the world, must overcome the illusions, the lies. Must overcome this system that hides from men the knowledge of their iniquity, fatally flattering them. Must overcome all these systems of illusion. The Messiah surely comes to expose the wicked, the lawless, those who hide and disguise their unrighteousness, compelling men to think that they be called wise, think they be called stable, while they still love fatal compromise. Think about it. Scripture tells us basically in 5:14-24, if we believe anyone who causes to deny or turn aside from the truth of the law and the prophets, we haven't overcome the world. Still part of the matrix. Still part of that system that perpetuates the lie from generation to generation. It tells us that if we seek to turn any man foolish against the law and the prophets, we're guilty even under hellfire. So I said, take care of both ends of the stick, my brothers and sisters. Both those who fall for the lie and those who perpetuate it. So the Most High wants an end to this Babylon. I repeat, he wants an end to this confusion. And we must understand that this wicked system we live in, this wicked matrix that we live in, knew that it couldn't teach the true concept of a Messiah. You can't preserve confusion if your concept of a Savior is one who declares an absolute. I repeat, you can't preserve confusion, Babylon, if your concept of a Savior is one who declares absolutes. An absolute. Think about it. So what have they done? They've maintained many polytheist forms of indiscretion in the world. Debate, doubt, and confusion to the extent that at the end of the day, people indiscriminate feel somehow, what? That they are not guilty? Scripture says you shouldn't take the name of the Most High in vain. Shouldn't associate him with any manner of lawlessness. You know that means that a man has to ask of the Most High how not to lie. He must ask of the Most High how to see beyond all the multitude of differences of opinion and misrepresentation that must be liars. This man must do for the sanctity of the Holy Name as a blessing to his brother. Israel was told to seek the Most High with all the mind, heart, soul, and might. Love and seek the Most High with all mind, heart, soul, and might. Knowing that Yah is one. And you can't have it any other way. Because many are they who say that Yah is one and not the other side of their mouth think that somehow he will be satisfied with all the differences of opinion. All the debate and doubt that is the result of man simply having been less than diligent, negligent, and not seeking Yah sufficiently enough. There are many of my brothers and sisters, when they find or have an opportunity to see the truth, don't pursue it fully enough. And that is a, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, that's a damning offense. I repeat, it's a damning offense. The Most High told me that very early on, first beginning to awaken. You know, it's going to sound like a funny way to relate it as an analogy, but he told me, for me, it's going to be like Hansel and Gretel. Might be lost in the woods. Not exactly knowing the way fully out. But he would guide. I really need to tell you about that one. He would guide and keep throwing out breadcrumbs, knowing I like morsels of knowledge. Keep moving, following the tracks to finally making it home. I thank him for that assurance. I think about the kind of things that I remember him telling me very early on. Perhaps I need to say this before I move further. I don't want to use up too much time, however, in explaining it. But I remember many years ago, in fact, yes, this was even before anointing time. Dream in the midst of it looks like an old mining shaft. I remember in the mining shaft being very dark with the glimmer of light on the left side wall, which only let me know that the mining shaft had an abrupt turn to the right. I remember the floor of that mining shaft being very uncertain. Couldn't hardly see where you were going. Rocks, large and small, stub your toe. Put your foot on. Hey, footing very insecure. Careful, have to be very careful. You're going to sprain your ankle or fall against the wall. And even falling against the walls were relatively soft. They were not. Didn't have the sensation of being strong at all. Touching the rafters inside, bits of dirt fell from top of place. First thing that came to my mind is this place is not secure, and this is a place that I need to hurriedly find my way out of. It was as if as soon as that thought came to mind, lo and behold, there was a trembling, and I began to feel the place begin to cave in. From that moment, next thing I remember was my body might have still been in that mining shaft. But it was like, I guess you can say it, something like, what, a 45-degree angle? Mine being taken out of that shaft and raised to a place maybe about a mile above the ground. Looking out, sky, and looking back down where my body I knew was, down under that ground. And lo and behold, before all the rocks, dirt, fully fall in, cave, and destroy, I saw a huge arm, hand, come out from the clouds, rush down, swiftly, down to the ground. Boom. Next thing I knew, my mind was back in the shaft, that mining shaft. But inside that hand, felt it move, taking me forward until all the trembling was over. Next thing I knew, hand open, and I walked off the fingers. Place where I was then, still inside the mining shaft. Most High says, basically put it this way, I'm guiding you now. Where you were before, you had no guidance, but now I'm the one that guides you. In that place, I could see the exit, but I still had to make it there. The ground had far less obstacles to slip and fall over. Touching the walls, are much more solid like rock. It was as if to say, yes, you can see your way out now. You can see the light, but you still have to get out of this place and fully into that light. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you the Most High would guide us to escape this darkness. But how many of us, my brothers and sisters, understand such scriptures as those that say that if we desire spiritual gifts, we must first seek to edify. We must seek more from them just for ourselves. We must seek also for our brothers, and not to seek and study to show ourselves fully approved before Yah, to be the light to our brothers that we need be. That's not an act of love, my brothers and sisters. In fact, in so many ways, that's an act of both fear and treachery against the Shema, the utmost command of all. We're told to seek the Most High with all our minds and hearts, knowing that He is one, to preserve the concept of His oneness, the absolution that He has declared. Not only, my brothers and sisters, sanctify the holy name, but the scriptures tell us this we must do, not only for the sake of the holy name, but when it says such words as love the Most High with all your mind, heart, soul, and might, it says love your neighbor as yourself, it means you also must seek this good for the sake of your brother, to prove that when the holy kingdom is established, you will seek all that is necessary to preserve what is divine holiness and righteousness in the world. It's the obligation of us all. If we call upon the name of the Most High, we must realize His name means He is all that He is. Therefore, without question, that fullness we must seek to preserve if we're going to be called living testimony, perpetual vessels. The Most High desires that we preserve the knowledge of His righteousness, His conscience in this earth. There are those, my brothers and sisters, who, many believing that, in fact, I just go ahead and tell you, I remember not long ago a pastor actually said on the radio, that if you know better, you do better. And the way they put it is if you don't know any better, you're not held accountable. That's a lie. I repeat, my brothers and sisters, if you don't know, you're accountable to Yah to have to find out. Remember the Most High told me directly while I was studying deeply one day. He told me either seek all His will or I could stop right now. We have this responsibility, my brothers and sisters. I said we have this responsibility. But not many of us are ready to discern it fully in terms of its impact and in terms of what is required. Excuse me, my brother and sister, back again. I want to say a few things that are very important. A few things about the effects of flattery. Like the Most High told me, every lie man believes is an obstacle against discerning the next dimension of truth. Not only is a flattery after false righteousness, a fallen conscience, oftentimes after arrogance and ignorance, men seeking to preserve the lies they've told, the mechanisms of false comfort in which they relied, they also compel men so many times to hate. Yes, my brothers and sisters, even to hate the hope of reproof, the hope of discipline, the hope of our people escaping the bondage to flattery that has been so much of an obstacle for so many of us, dividing us after false righteousness. My brothers and sisters, none such thinking as this has ever been the love of Yah. It's time we understand that. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, that I've said it so many times on this show, Most High counts like Edom and Moab, whoever it is that is prideful or whose pride stands against our people awaken to the full fruition of harmony and agreement with Yah that we must attain. The fatal flatteries, my brothers and sisters, entertain and preserve obstacles against our healing. And with that, Yah can never be pleased. I think about scriptures like those in Isaiah in the 40th chapter. Scriptures like those, my brothers and sisters, that talk about Messiah coming for the express purpose because his people have been wearied among the nations, weakened in their resolve and their sense of conscience among the nations. It says they will wait for the Lord to renew their strength. How about shall discern beyond all the fatal flattery, all the foolish standards, all the false gods that are among the nations? Yes, the nations, denominations, cults, false cultures, social misorders, and false religiosities. International lives, my brothers and sisters, national and political illusions that men have trusted. All of them are idolatry. And all of them weaken the resolve of our people. It says in 2 Thessalonians in so many ways to prefer unrighteousness. After the intrusions, get the point. It said in 2 Colossians, beware lest any man beguile you after the principles of the world and not after Messiah. Beware the intrusions of the principalities and powers. Beware the intrusions of the powers of perdition. I want you to understand the real meaning of the scripture where it says the mysteries of iniquity are already at work. If those after a lesser conscience take precedence among the churches, they compel men to love false righteousness. They compel men to prefer unrighteousness. They cause men to exalt themselves in their blindness. They compel men to love and believe lies, illusions, standards with which the Most High cannot be pleased. Scripture says Messiah will come to expose these constraints, this system of lies, this matrix of lies that hides from men the nature of their iniquity. It says Messiah will expose this wickedness, this lawlessness, for the word means the same. And the only way it's apparent that he must do this is by establishing one standard that unto him shall all the nations seek, that his rest, his peace should be glorious. It means he has still yet one standard beyond all that multitude of illusions that this world has sought to establish, as if to say that somehow Messiah comes to sanction worldly confusion, the corruption, the damnation, the contention, the warfare that was already in the world. Nothing, my brother says, no set of concepts is more insane against the very nature of the name of the Most High than such concepts as this. The Most High told me that if any man can believe all this multitude of contradictions, the work of his spirit that teaches all things, no lying, and reproves all sin, whatever it is that divides our people after illusion. If a man can believe that all these multitude of differences are a work of his spirit, the work of a word of truth, Scripture says that man cannot be a disciple unto him. He will be deceived. If he can really believe and continually try to believe all these contentions are wise, he can never be true to the one who is one. He can never hold on, you hear me, the one whose hand is unchanging. He can never be a disciple unto Yah. He's one easily gullible and tricked by all who would deceive constantly, simply because they would seek those who would help them to exalt themselves. That's been the trick since the garden, my brothers and sisters. Men flattered to believe that without Yah, they should still have his reward. Believing that without Yah, turning aside from his will, as if to say the Most High won't do what he said he would do. I want you to understand something. I'll say it again. It'd be so much easier for us if we understand that the Most High is going to do things only as he said he will, and he's not going to compromise after any other plan. It's therefore the grace of Yah, the mercy of Yah, the favor of Yah that he reveals that plan. The question is, my brothers and sisters, how many of us understand what the scriptures actually say? It says that all your leaders have lied to you. All of your leaders have taught you and led you astray, taught you in such a way as to lead you astray, have not sought to examine and to reveal to you all that's contained in the law and the prophets, have not seen how all these things the Most High said work together. And in so many ways, when he said your rights must exceed that of your leaders, because think about it. In Revelation, it talks about your leaders running for cover. Isaiah 25:24 said because of their treachery. Running for cover, hiding from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. Why? Because Malachi said they have said that everyone who does evil or in a deviant manner is good in the sight of the Most High and that he delights in such. They flattered men in their vanity. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, all prophecies say that those who flatter men in their vanity shall not be able to stand. It means that your righteousness must exceed, your concept of righteousness must exceed that of all your leaders, which means you have to seek Yah himself. If they didn't tell you that, and I can see why they wouldn't. It was already told in advance that your leaders wouldn't tell you that. That they would never preach to you what is true of the gospel. These people have made it their business. In their insentience, their lack of conscience. To take advantage of the unaware. So, what scripture says, like devil, they seek to devour the simple-minded. Well, they figure if folks don't know any better, they have for themselves all the more opportunity to take advantage of people and exploit them. But my brothers and sisters, anyone who could do this to the damnation of so many souls, well, I think you already know what they deserve. I repeat, I think you already understand full well what they deserve, who has functioned unto the damnation of so many. Like one pastor told me, it's not about what the book says. He said it's about them. It's about them learning a profession. To be established, my brothers and sisters, as those who have authority to preside over a congregation. Nothing's more wicked, my brothers and sisters, than a people who collectively have taken counsel against your discerning the truth of Yah and the truth of what is or should be your expectation regarding his anointed. I can only tell you, and I spoke about it last evening, that all prophecies talk about the conscience of our people becoming so corruptly polluted in the last days. Men trusting in their leaders after we were warned not to trust in princes. The Messiah will come suddenly, unexpectedly upon the people. I said, all prophecies say the Messiah will come suddenly, unexpectedly upon a people. Why? Because their rulers have not rightly prepared them. It says he comes suddenly as a thief in the night. That scripture is related. We talked about this on last evening. The apostle, they called Shaul, Paul, said it in the 5th chapter. Messiah said it himself. Yes, we talked about all this on last evening. apostle they call Peter, Kepha, in the third chapter of his second, what we have come to call traditionally his second epistle. Believe me, there were more. It talks about the same thing. Behold, he comes suddenly as a thief in the night. The apostle they called Yohanan on the Isle of Patmos said the same thing, speaking about the one called the King of the East, the one who dries up the rivers and finally causes men to see beyond the fatally flattering allure that is the shallow mindscapes of the rulers, who themselves in their indiligence will compel others to believe they have license and their lack of knowledge to also mislead you. My brothers and sisters, none of this is true. They even compel men to believe somehow that they have a right, if the right not to seek the knowledge of the truth and still be called somehow forgiven, sinless. One scripture says, if a man sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice to be offered for his sin. It must be a blessing, my brothers and sisters, to realize that to be offered the knowledge or the opportunity to see the truth is a great blessing. The scripture says, if any man turn away, Most High says his soul will not have any delight in him. If any man turns away, the scripture says he is blasphemed and insulted the spirit of grace or the gift of Yah. The gift of Yah, the grace of Yah, must be the opportunity to discern then the truth. I see Old Testament and New Testament, the same eventuality. The Most High preserving for himself the people who have been diligent unto the knowledge of the truth. And they prove that they are willing to follow him. And Revelation 14 says, follow the Lamb wherever he leads. That statement unto itself, and we're talking about across all the nations, means there must be only one law for all peoples. And if anyone chooses to rationalize otherwise, my brothers and sisters, he only proves his infirmity. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? His infirmity and instability before the Most High. Scripture which tells us in the book of Jacob, they call James. We are told that if we're scattered among the nations, among the provocations among the nations, systems that deny the truth, provoking the Most High, it says we still have to bring forth by patience and faith in the Most High, asking him a perfect work, something which is a standard that's fully acceptable unto him. It says we shouldn't, if we lack wisdom, we should ask him, not mocking, not holding any form of misrepresentation. Ultimately, seeking beyond all debate and doubt. Debate, doubt, double-mindedness. Can't have it both ways. Can't say that Yah is one and then still seek to sanction the imaginations of your own heart. All the misimaginations taught to you after the, let's just say, born of this world allegiance is the misorientations in it. Scripture said anyone so double-minded, easily deceived to believe other than what the Most High declared is still viable after whatever seems wise in their own hearts. He said, let not that man think he receive anything from Yah. My brothers and sisters, scripture never said unbelief was favored. We have to understand, and when scripture talks about the gift of Yah, book of Jacob, they call James. Yeah, Mr. King James did that. 1:17 of that book says plainly, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of changing. Meaning that the gift of Yah must be an absolute sense of absolution. He says, when the scripture is quoted in the midst of that same chapter, it talks about Messiah coming in the last days, quoting the scriptures from Isaiah 40, telling you that there must be an absolute. He says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Yah endures forever. That scripture in Isaiah 40 says all the concepts, if you will, of the flesh, my brothers and sisters, must be burnt and destroyed. It says, think about it. In Isaiah 40, it says, comfort ye, O my people. In other words, let our people see beyond all the double-mindedness and warfare that is among us. Let an absolute be declared. Let all of us see the glory of Yah. The grass withers, the flower fades, but all flesh, that means all the concept of a lesser conscience, is as the grass, which the spirit of Yah, when it blows upon it, when the word of Yah blows upon it, it's like a fire that destroys. Yes, my brothers and sisters, every illusion. That tells us again and again the grace of Yah, since he intends to bring an end to every lie. We are to look for what will bring us again to be a strong people beyond all the fatally flattering rulers, my brothers and sisters, that keep us from truly being, if you will, I hope you understand this, renaturalized and divinely oriented. We must overcome all those who keep men from being born again. We must overcome, my brothers and sisters, all those who establish flattering illusions, compel men to consider themselves safe where there is no safety. We must overcome those, my brothers and sisters, who claim to be prophets but don't profit the people at all because they offer no real reproof. The Holy Spirit teaches all things. No lie in it. Reproves all that is sin, error, whatever divides people, whatever deceives our people against a pure, perfect standard. Since the Scripture says the Holy Spirit rebukes these fallen standards, why then are there so many in the earth? Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth will set you free. Well, think about it, my brothers and sisters. All prophecy says that in the last days, man has become so confused after a multitude of misrepresentatives that he cannot deliver himself. Read Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 and discern who the Scriptures speak of in Isaiah 44:45-46 that is mentioned also in Revelation 16:12-21. Who is that one called the King of the East, the righteous one that comes suddenly like the rising sun? My brothers and sisters, to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure, to put so much that men are called wise is only another variation of the darkness, in that so much truth, after all these systems, is completely ignored. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Think about it. Ancient Rome, the people in the East knew the Messiah comes to declare an absolute standard. I repeat, the new Messiah comes to declare an absolute standard that will put to shame all the rulers. They want people to believe that. Like I said, you don't. People who would preserve confusion don't want to talk to the Savior who comes to the absolution. They'd rather to teach, my brothers and sisters, something that preserves the polytheist compromise and hypocrisies that are in their hearts. What does that scripture say? You talk about that system that murders so many of the saints and continued to murder until they silenced all the voices of those who knew the truth or who would speak. Messiah spoke about that at 24:4-24. Talk about the rise of false prophets that occurred with the rise of false prophets, the fall of Jerusalem, and those many murderous years, next few centuries of murderous years. Rome killing off the folks who believe until they established what they call what the rise of false prophets. That same system that murdered so many of the saints in Revelation 13 would raise up a system, horns like a lamb, speaking as the dragon, exercising all the murderous, flattering, deceitful power of that murderous system that was before. Rome did not come into the East, my brothers and sisters, in the faith, but to destroy it, to corrupt it, to lessen the conscience of men and cause men to become prideful in the arrogance of their ignorance, even in the arrogance of having grossly deceived. That is what the scripture calls the wearying, the weakening, the conscience of our people. Malachi says that the wearied or weakened the concept of what is divine righteousness in the earth with their words, with their doctrines, the multitude of differing doctrines. How about, my brothers and sisters, weakening the resolve and the faith of the people? Multitude of debates and doctrines, not under faith, but destruction of it. Faith has always been a matter, my brothers and sisters, a gift that comes from Yah. Not all have heard the preaching of the gospel, it says in Romans 9-10. Many have the law, don't seek it by faith, not unto an absolute, seeking only what is satisfactory unto themselves. Keeping our people from being saved, keeping our people from being made whole, seeking to establish their own righteousness, not understanding that faith in Messiah, he is the end of trust in all unrighteous rule, the flaw, the false rule, the flawed, foolish, fleshly standards of those who were called authority over men in a heathenous, idolatrous world. He is the end of trust in all these confusions for those who believe him. And remember the scriptures, they cut it off short. In Romans 10, it says, come to pass in the last days, all those call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But they took away from you the rest of the verse. This is Joel 2:32, where it says, all call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. And in Jerusalem, the city of peace. Did they want you to understand that concept? In Jerusalem, the city where there should be perfect agreement with Yah, from which the law should go forth, shall be deliverance unto a remnant whom the Most High has called. Meaning that he must call first. Man must respond to a gift from Yah. Reverence for Yah, of Yah, reverence for Yah, the beginning of wisdom. And did you say reverence for Yah comes at the hand of those who call themselves reverend? You said reverence for Yah. Did it say it comes because you heard something from men? Because you heard some man idea or concept of what is deity? My brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, the real question is not going to be whether you heard and obeyed a man, but whether or not you heard and obeyed Yah. Messiah himself said that many things I long to tell you, but you can't grasp them yet or receive them fully yet till the comfort of the Holy Spirit has come. Isaiah said, Yah, how many have heard the echoes of our voice, it says in Aramaic. How many, when they hear the voice of a prophet, also hear the Most High? That they know this is a voice that they must follow. Scriptures tell us in Acts 3:18-23, Messiah comes for the restitution and restoration, the remembrance of all things, according to all the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. He is the Word from the beginning. He has not lied at any time since. Meaning that which the Most High declared from the beginning, Rishon Acharon, the beginning and the end, is an eternal standard, and anyone outside of it for subjectivity under the variant misruling entities of men who would exalt themselves after partialities as obstacles against discerning initial foundation, whoever does not conquer to see beyond all these veils of illusion is still under the matrix, my brothers and sisters. Still under the system of the systems of men that hide, deny, pervert, silence, and seek to destroy the knowledge of the truth. That men flatter themselves in their misimaginations and never realize that lies against the Most High is the ways of devils. Many just simply say, well, we didn't know this is what we do. Well, my brothers and sisters, y'all not knowing that's what you do is also proof that you don't know Yah. You need to seek Him more. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, we need to be aware not to fall victim to those whose business is to comfort men with fatally flattering seductive deception. All scripture says that in the last days, I repeat, that our people have been wearied, scattered among the nations, weakened after the compromise of rulers who, quite frankly, though the gospel went forward to them, they sought to constrain everything within the mindscape of their shallow lack of conviction. Telling people that you don't need to understand anything more than what your leaders tell you. And you got a whole bunch of leaders who, in their lack of knowledge, are constantly disruptive, destructive, warlike, contentious, competitive, and keeping our people in allegiances to institutionalities that can never know peace. Not perfect peace with Yah, not after all these compromises. To think so is insanity. But we are warned, my brothers and sisters, concerning this. But how many of us were willing to give it these truths the full attention that they absolutely deserved? I would like to read a few scriptures to you in the book of Job. Job, they call it Job. 17:5, it says he who speaks flattery to his friends. Wow, that means he blinds men against seeing a greater standard. Every lie, every falsehood, every hasty conclusion a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater dimension of truth. Greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving consideration to all the Most High has spoken. Well, that's not wisdom at all. That's not awareness. That's not putting upon yourself the whole armor of Yah to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You say he speaks flattery to his friends. Exalts then fallen conscience. Flatters men in their hastiness. Telling them that they have awakened to what they have not. It is a curse, my brothers and sisters. Even the eyes of his children shall fail. It means it's a curse because you pass on lies from generation to generation. Have we not understood what the scriptures mean? He shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep, preserve, maintain the knowledge of his conscience. But visiting the iniquities, unclean, the fallen standards upon the fall upon the children, third, fourth, and generation of those who hate. How about who hate him and hate his reproof? Hate the fact that he is one according to all that he has declared forever eternal. 21:34, same book, says, how then will you vainly flatter me? How, in other words, do you even dare to do so? Knowing, if you will, that the end result, that all your answers, all your advice, that's what it really relates, remains filled still yet with falsehood. Shall such as one as this, my brothers and sisters, be a wise advisor? Shall such as this be one who is true to helping one, helping his brother, helping us as a people to be admonished toward what Yah has declared? We all must have as a mutual expectation. Brothers and sisters, these are the tricks of those who would turn you away from discerning Yah. Be tricked, my brothers and sisters, to never truly know him. Zechariah 10:2 says, your idols speak vanity. Talk about all your leaders who have molded your conscience after their presumptuousness, their false imagination. They speak vanity, speak what is worthless. Never can bring forth a righteous offering for Yah. Your diviners, those who conceive these things, have seen lies. Hey, they've conceived lies so that they might preserve lies. So they tell false dreams, false expectations, give the people false aspirations, cause them to be zealous after misimaginations and misallegiances, dividing our people against the truth. They comfort in vain. Thus, my people, I went astray as a flock. Why, my brothers and sisters, they were troubled. Troubled in this case means that they were contentious, divided, had no sense of agreement. How about oftentimes competitive where there's no wisdom? Troubled, not at peace with one another, because among them there was no standard, no shepherd. Men so often desirous to believe and trust after those who teach them vanity, that they would not hear when a wise one truly appeared among them. How many times, my brothers and sisters, have men fallen victim, not understanding that we live in a system, a deceitful matrix and facts, my brothers and sisters, that would predispose men against hearing the truth or accepting the truth long before they even have an opportunity to hear it. Again, every lie a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater dimension of truth. Some of the biggest lies have been told to hide or cause men to deny or hate the greater truth. Such a shame, my brothers and sisters. It's like I said, 2 Thessalonians talks about a system that would intrude the principalities and powers seeking to maintain authority over the people. Definitely want people to convert unto a greater king, unto perceiving the way of a greater king. So the mystery of iniquity is already at work. It really means, my brothers and sisters, those who hide from you the righteousness of Yah, who hide from you the nature of your iniquity, keep you blind and therefore under sin forever. That manner of system, the false righteousness of this world, he said was already at work. What do you think it is when he said you must convert? What do you think it is when it says, go forth and teach all nations everything he commands? What do you think it means, my brothers and sisters, when it says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? That word for name there, my brothers and sisters, the Most High signs and seals and confirms all his word with his name. That means teach them everything, that they be purged of all unrighteousness. Nothing is ever made holy as long as the pollutions and lies of this world in their hearts remain. So the scriptures are saying then that that flattering obstacle has compelled men to be satisfied in their iniquities. Kind of like the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 30. Woe to those who take counsel but not from Yah, who offer offerings that are not of his spirit. Scripture says point blank, those who cause men therefore to sit still, who trust in the ways of Egypt, causing men to sit still. Scripture says their worship is in vain. Read Isaiah 30. And to bring an end to this obstacle, the amalgam of false sons who would not hear the law of the Most High, he says this corruption must be a thing that is broken suddenly at an instant without pity. I talked about, my brothers and sisters, about how the scriptures say again and again, Old Testament and New, the Messiah comes suddenly to a people unprepared. Why? Because they've been taught so much compromise, they don't feel that there's even a need to discern the greater truth. Like the scripture says in Isaiah 50, Messiah comes saying, why when I came was there no man, when I spoke was there none to answer. Have I no power to deliver? Have I no power to break the spell? The spell of illusions. Say, behold, in my rebuke, I drive the seas. In other words, I set people free beyond the mindscapes of their rulers. Morning by morning, he says, Most High, because of his word, he will make sackcloth, put all the rulers to shame. He says, morning by morning, the Most High causes my ear to hear the teaching. And I've not turned back the rebellious way. How many, when they hear the reproof of the Most High, seek to turn toward the flatterer? How many, my brothers and sisters, when they hear the truth, will not turn back? How many will prove they are faithful allies unto the Most High, that they will reason, seeking to reason together as one with him, that we partake of the good of the land? How many, my brothers and sisters, understand what that scripture says, that he will not turn back the rebellious way? That he should know how to declare a word to the what? To the weary. Those who have become spiritually weakened after the multitude of false doctrines. Illusions have been taught by men. But there are those who simply say because men can't discern what is wise, that they have a license to lie. They call it liberty and justice for all, as if, amazingly enough, there will be men who will never be held accountable for the lies they've spoken. They've therefore not only given men, they say, the right to lie, but they've given the politicians, given themselves the right to lie. Nobody recognizes there's been a sin. Shame, my brothers and sisters. Shame on those who fall for this. Democracy, divided rule. Didn't it say Yah is one? So what is this system but one that flatters men in their fleshliness? Flatters men in their presumptuousness. As if that's a blessing. Something Most High shed a grace upon when, from the very beginning, this was a system that never wanted an absolute and divine will, but wanted to give every man a right to uphold his vanities, to lie, as if there's no obligation that the Messiah called was the first command of all. He called it the Shema. Love the Most High with all your mind, heart, and soul. Then seek him with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. To preserve the nature of his conscience. Say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Preserve the nature of his conscience, nerd. These people open the door for every liar and sit back and say they've done the Most High service. Shame, my brothers and sisters, that men have employed devilish pastors and sit back and tell them everything was right and so much was so wrong. Ah, my brothers and sisters, I say watch out for those who make it their business. Like the pastor told me, it was about them gaining profession. They take that piece of paper they call a Doctor of Divinity degree, they take any denomination they wanted to. And suppose they have credentials from apparently an insolvent, hypocritical institution. Wasn't concerned about absolution even at its base. And they say they have authority from Yah to preach salvation, deliverance from the lie and the liar. They have power to teach men beyond the darkness when they create the darkness. I said again, my brother, and says these fatal flatterers should not be able to stand. Read Malachi 3rd chapter. Read Revelation 6. Your leaders, my brothers and sisters, who have flattered men after false righteousness, made it their job to do so, should not be able to stand before the Son of Man. You definitely need to know to seek that Son of Man and how to do so. Why did they tell you what the scriptures say as to how he shall bring his people to a state of oneness and agreement, strong beyond all the deceivers again. Why didn't they tell you? Why didn't they tell you about what really was the early church's origin? What galvanized so many to come to the church? What was their mutual expectation? And preparing for one who would destroy every lie. Why didn't they tell you what the secrets of who they knew Messiah is? It's an article on my website called Early Church Origin Mutual Expectation. You'll find it there, URL for it in the chat. Why didn't they tell you about the secret city prophecies? Why didn't they tell you, my brothers and sisters, how Most High says he will expose every lie to make his people strong again? Your leaders didn't want to tell you because they're the liars who weakened the people's resolve. Scripture said in advance in Isaiah 41, these are the truths they would never tell you. Scripture said they rob not only Yah, but even whole nations. They turn men aside from a covenant. They turn men aside from his commandments. Tell men that everything is good when it's all so bad. Tell men that everything is good when men delight in their own evil and say that the Most High delights in such. Read Malachi 2:15-3 and 4 in particular. Read now to 3 and 9. And see the essence of what's really, really actually being said. I say it's time to stop lying. Stop being allowing yourself to be so easily infected with a lie. For the kingdom of Yah will only come to be after what Yah has foreordained. He will not establish his kingdom upon any manner of infirmity. It's time that people learn to stop lying. Seek the Most High to believe peace will only come as the Most High has promised it. We must all study to show ourselves approved before Yah. We all must seek, my brothers and sisters, the plan the Most High has decreed. To seek anything else, to be flattered after anything rapture doctrine, trust the Most High, sanction, the presumptuous man, the Easter, Christmas, and Sunday, all these doctrines that men came up with that never had in them a clause toward remembrance of all the Most High declared, and to discern of what is the difference between what is divinely ordained and what is has its origin in man's rebellion. They tell you that you could be delivered, not discerning, my brothers and sisters, how many ways you've been lied to. Time to think again. Like I said, we must go to show ourselves proof for Yah. Study, seek Yah. Prayer. Did I say it'd be wise for us all to pray? Father, I don't know what I don't know, don't know what I need to know. Don't know what some liar, some mess has been stuck in my head that keeps me from understanding. Father, you know. If you don't tell me, I won't know. There's a big difference between hearing a word from man and hearing it from Yah himself. It's a blessing, my brothers and sisters, to have a call that lets you know for certain the Most High has called you for the express purpose of aiding and his plan. But I remember when he first told me that he wanted me to speak for him, the first thing I knew is I didn't know a daggum thing. And the first conviction in my heart was not to lie. And he finally told me, now that you realize you don't know anything, he said, now I can tell you something. But we have to come to that level of realization, that level of humility, desires not to lie, desire that all the things we say and do bring reverence for his name. If that's not in our hearts, my brothers and sisters, how can we be driven to the dimension of zeal that opens the doors to greater dimensions of conscience that we must attain? We live in a system, my brothers and sisters, that is, like I said, compel men to compromise. Show less than a real, genuine love for the truth. And my brothers and sisters, the love of the truth is the very foundation of the kingdom of Yah. Something we cannot be found without. Without it, according to what we just looked at it on last evening, 2 Kings 1st chapter, say, by your diligence for knowledge, you make your election sure. You prove that you're worthy of a calling and that you regard and defend the way of Yah. That men not fall victim to any faulty unstable foundation. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. I'll say it as I said it before. Who is it? Most I said he would be have anger forever for those who resist the knowledge of his will. So many times men have lied in their institutions. They feel like they have to preserve them. When Scripture talks about Edom and Moab, the destruction of Edom and Moab, realize in the territory where Edom and Moab were when Israel came out of Egypt, all in so many ways had rulers who resisted Israel passing through their lands toward the land that was promised to them. And seeking to impede Israel's process by this process and toward progress. Most has to call them basically any people that would stand against or impede the progress of his people toward wisdom. He calls them a people against whom the Most High should be angry forever. We are warned that in the book of Hebrews that we be not like Esau. Mm-hmm. Well, the Most High said that even though he sought the promise with tears because he had rejected it, he despised the choice of Yah. Say, because he, even though he sought the promise with tears, well, quite frankly, was not heard. Well, I see among us today, my brothers and sisters, are many who call themselves Hebrews that are just like Edom and Moab. They would exalt the false authority they've attained. They forget the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, and he blesses whom he will. He opens the eyes of whom he will. And whoever, my brothers and sisters, is unwilling to accept that, whoever is unwilling to accept the plan the Most High has declared for the redemption of the world, the Most High cannot be pleased with. Scripture says anyone who would turn aside from this hope, he has soul have, shall have no delight in. Scripture says blaspheming the spirit of grace is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry Yah. We talked to him last evening about him who the scripture said over and over again would strengthen his people and how he would do it. No, it's not after some sky messiah coming out, and the sky messiah coming through clouds. Scripture is actually talking about somebody who has a masterful testimony that exposes all false testimony. Scripture doesn't say he comes from the clouds. Scripture says he will emerge from a city that he warns first. But how many know the secret city prophecies? Even though those prophecies exist in your Bible in some way from Genesis to Revelation, your leaders have all sought to throw it aside, just like the scripture said they would in Isaiah 41. Like I said, a lot of things I could talk about here tonight. But unless men are willing to study and discern all that's contained in the law and the prophets, and believe me, that website is replete with scripture. Article called Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Article called Secret City Prophecies. Tribulation 70-365 AD, Gospel of Shiloh. Replete with scripture to show what scripture said in advance that your treacherous rulers would not. You need to be asking them why they have ignored these things, or how could they not see them? Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if they had the spirit of the one whom the Most High sends to expose all unrighteousness, they would discern beyond their unrighteousness, and they wouldn't be teaching these lies to you. As the Messiah comes suddenly unexpected to a people unprepared, it only tells you about the nature of your rulers. Treacherous and blind, because it wasn't their goal to open fully your eyes in the first place. Many of them know how treacherous they are, knowing that they are not wisdom ad infinitum. Yet some dare to call themselves the bastions of absolute truth. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures ultimately declare that in so many ways for those who already understand it, that this age is just testing ground. Most High intends to remove every obstacle, even remove the deceiver, that his people be taught. It says it's going to be 1,000 years of his people being taught before finally the earth is ready to be fully redeemed, that the tabernacle of Yah be with men. Why do men just so quickly presume that they know so much when there's still so much yet to learn? Most High told me to, you can look up in the sky and say, sky be and one sky, say look into the sky and say, star be and one star's glowing, keep growing. Says something else you can learn from him. And I knew immediately that he meant much more than just a star, a ball of gas glowing in the heavens, but a replication of all the beauty that he had made, like when he made this earth and life in it, and made it an ecosphere, an ecosystem that would preserve life upon it. So until you can discern all these things, how all these things must work together, so you got something else from him you can learn. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who would flatter one another in their ignorance, not knowing the purpose for which man was made. So what is man thou art mindful of him? Heaven help us to be wise enough not to let men who didn't make us declare to us what is potential. Yah knows what it is. I know in the old days, if the old folks knew you had a little bit of sense, they'd jump down your throat because you didn't use it. I remember Most High one time telling me, all right, I thought I was, like I said, digging real deep in the scriptures. And he told me to seek all his will, I could stop right now. In effect, in so many ways, amongst other things, he was telling me, see, I know what I gave you with my spirit to be able to see. And he told me I had to use it. I had no choice. Important things to be done. Important things to be seen. But the scriptures tell us in the last days, the world's going to find out those they trusted as their guardians, the watchmen have been blind, all knowing nothing, dumb dogs, don't home bark. Dreamers lying down, loving to slumber. Greedy, never satisfied. Isaiah 56:10 I'm talking about. Shepherds without understanding, without a conscience. They all turn their own way, everyone to his unjust gain, to the last one. Repeats, my brothers and sisters, over and over again, the same pattern of thought. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who don't want to believe it. Well, dare men believe that when Messiah comes, you have no reason to reprove you in anything that you do, or anything that you believe, that you are already as wise as he? Or should you not prepare, my brothers and sisters, for the one who strengthens human conscience again? Last evening, we talked about the amazing fact that if we read 2 Kefer, a book they call 2 Peter, epistle they call 2 Peter, read it from beginning to end, we understand who the early church believed Messiah to be. We understand that it was prophesied that after the death of the apostles would come false prophets. But the one that they expected before, who had already come before Yeshua 2,000 years ago, one who they called the morning star, the dawning of the day, sunrise, would come again, our brothers and sisters, to expose all the folly of the nations. Declare again, our brothers and sisters, what is steadfastness for his people. Show them beyond all the lawless who compel men to be prideful in their indiligence. But my brothers and sisters, how many have been willing to hear that? They prefer you have the concept of Messiah who upholds the confusion of man. Messiah did not come, my brothers and sisters, to license sin or any man's lie, but to expose the liar. And only those, my brothers and sisters, who are willing to know that without solution can prepare for him or even have the type of zeal seeking that men live and not die. To seek with the dimension of love necessary, my brothers and sisters, to be found steadfast. But what does it say in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53? Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 says, the Most High looked upon the Son of Man and saw there was none who sought him. So busy listening to everybody else. Didn't know how much they needed to seek Yah, so they followed hypocrites. No respect for Yah. Devoured like bread. Evildoers devouring the people like bread. And they know it not. That's what Most High said he will have to scatter the bones of hypocrite. And the day that he has appeared, he shall appear among the righteous. He says he saw none righteous, no, not one. So he had to send a righteous one for the express purpose of what? Israel might be reunited, made glad, strong again. Isaiah 41 talks about this righteous one like unto the rising sun. He exposes all the rulers to create again a strong people. brought to a true sense of justice and righteousness. He exposes all the rulers, my brothers and sisters, it says in Isaiah 41. Malachi says, expose all your priests. Yeah. We've taught so many fallen standards, because there's indeed only one. But how many times have your leaders taught you those words? How many times have they told you about Isaiah 41, so the Most High is considered anyone who has not taught this standard which the Most High declared from the beginning eternal is an abomination, not a work of his hands? They tell you about that in Isaiah 41:25, that whoever does not understand these concepts is not counted among the godly? Do they tell you, my brothers and sisters, that they have not preached nor heard the gospel? Do they tell you that Abraham believed Yah, means he believed Yah unto seeking his pure and perfect will? Abraham believed Yah despite all the lies and misrepresentations against the truth of deity in the earth. True sons of Abraham, my brothers and sisters, are those who can believe the truth is contained in the word of Yah that the whole world has rejected. And believe, my brothers and sisters, the whole world, look around you. I don't hear people speaking Zephaniah, really preaching Zephaniah 2:15, 3 and 6, regarding that city from which Messiah should emerge, that because the city would not listen, he would destroy that city, to tell the whole world the time for these lies is over. Same things in Revelation 6:12 through 7:7-2 through 7:17. Same things in Isaiah 25:1 through 3. Destruction of a city cause all nations to recognize that they must revere Yah. Cast aside all the veil, the covering of illusion that has blinded all the nations to trust in unrighteousness. That finally it should be said, this is the righteous one for whom we have waited. We rejoice and be made glad in his salvation. He will wipe away all tears from off all eyes. That same scripture, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 25, is also in Isaiah 49. It's also in Revelation 7:16-17, concerning the one who comes saying, listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb and from the body of my mother, that he made mention of my name. But how many, my brothers and sisters, prepare for that scripture because they believe Messiah comes from the clouds? Not realizing in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, are chronologies. He didn't say Messiah would come after that time of great persecution against the saints in the first centuries. My brothers and sisters, scriptures also say Messiah should come as an anointed man in the latter days. But there are those who look at those scriptures and not realize the scripture says if they tell you then that, you know, a time of the rise of false prophets or the what seems to bring an end to that those murderous times whereby Rome murdered so many believers. They were telling you that don't expect Messiah to come at that time because it's a long time for the time appointed. Man is subject to deceive us for a very long time. Destroying the resolve of our people and telling men to believe they don't know the truth and that everything is okay. As if they have no, like I said, they have no obligation to seek the truth if they don't lie. So we say Messiah will not come then, but that does not mean he does not come later days, later, as the anointed one. The ancient Hebrew sages always understood the Messiah is not the body you see, but the spirit that is within the man anointed. How many of my brothers and sisters will discern the source behind the voice? Power behind the voice. Who it is, my brothers and sisters, that enforces those words is wise when a prophet truly appears who comes to speak with others would not. How many, my brothers and sisters, are ready to understand it? Jeremiah 23 said, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, said the Most High, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightheartedness, their lack of conviction. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, said the Most High. And if you go on a little further in that 23rd chapter, it says if a prophet or priest, one of these false prophets who won't tell you everything you need to know, shall ask you, what is the Lord wrought, or what is the Most High said? And anyway, why are they doing asking if it's for the prophets? He said, you would tell them, I will utterly uproot you, says the Most High. A whole lot of folks, my brothers and sisters, have been willing to speak, but not having heard from Yah before they do. Not realizing that anyone who would do such a thing is already counted inviolable, because it means you would presume the will of Yah. Something is already commanded you must not do. So you should not take, swear by his name in vain, which means you must have inspiration from him. How else do you have authority to speak? It's the reason why in Romans it said, not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. So not everyone even has the authority to speak in his name. People take their authority upon themselves. They send themselves. Scripture says they do so, having not heard from him, they profit this people not at all. They offer them nothing viable. But how many of my brothers and sisters are willing to deal with that and understand that? How many, if I were to tell you right now that Messiah, according to even the book of Isaiah alone, prophesies Messiah comes at least 3 times. They talk about Messiah in the same spirit coming to deliver Israel out of the Babylon East first in his appearance after Isaiah. And coming later, in the latter days, to deliver his people out of a Babylon West and even out from the midst of all nations, wherever they've been scattered. In between, giving his life and being resurrected to prove foolish both Jewish and Gentile leadership. But how many understand that? 2,000 years ago, Rome had come in a few decades before, murdered all the priests and established a priesthood that finally said they had no king but Caesar. That's that surreptitious alliance between the priests of Israel and Rome, who later came in and destroyed the city, as mentioned in Daniel 9th chapter. But it's one of those things that people don't talk about. Lest men discern what has happened with regard to rulership across this world among those who call themselves pastors. They have a surreptitious secret relationship with those who are corrupt. Men sense their discretion. And they've continued to do this, my brothers and sisters, all this time, in a virtual, if you will, global allegiance against men discerning the greater righteousness of Yah, causing men to exalt darkness and not light. Daring to declare to men illusions after which they can only lose their souls. Scripture tells us that people have grown vast and indiscriminate in the last days. Why did they tell you about Isaiah 66 about how Messiah comes to reprove both church and state? And when he exposes every lie, I repeat, when he comes to expose every lie, Scripture says our people shall suddenly join together, a nation reborn as if it were suddenly in one day. Why did they tell you about that city of confusion, secret city prophecies? They're mentioned throughout the Bible, like I said, from Genesis to Revelation. You start around Genesis 14, go up to then, Numbers 24, go to Genesis 49. Start reading the innuendo of so many things in the book of Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter, called the Song of Moshe, that you find written of also in Revelation 14. You guys talking about so many scriptures in Isaiah. 24th, 27th chapter, 25, 1 through 3, 24, 10 through 16, 27, 9 through 12. We talk about Zephaniah 3, 2:15 to 3 and 6. We could talk about Amos in the 3rd chapter. I dare to say, brothers and sisters, just about every prophet, with the exception of Daniel, spoke in some way specifically about that city. Scripture says the Most High had already appointed. A miniature example of all the lies of the world to reprove a whole world from that place. That's that same Armageddon experience, the scenario we see at Revelation 16, 12 to 21. Same thing we see at Revelation 6, 12 through 7, 17. Same scenario we see painted in Scripture over and over again, Old Testament and New. How can there be a different covenant to the same eventuality? It doesn't even make sense. Doesn't make sense at all, my brothers and sisters, but there are those who can be destabilized just simply because they don't want to believe they have been deceived. Most I told me there are many just like that who would rather believe a deceiver than believe they've been deceived, even if overcoming the lies the only way they can help their brothers. Such as this, my brothers and sisters, can never be worthy, not into the kingdom of Yah. A lot of these things I'm telling you about now, my website, hiddengospel.com. It's all there. But I can only tell you that what's there is by and large a framework for understanding so much more. Lots more implication in it all for those who are willing to ask the Most High to help them see between the lines. I can only tell you if I were to really sit down and try to explain everything that's in that website, or any one of these articles, after just a few sentences, could probably be written. Some of everything, something that's just as dense as the whole website in total. But how many are willing to believe it? I can only tell you that for everything the Most High declares, and tell you a billion reasons why it's so. But how many hearts are prepared and willing to receive it and to be humbled by the opportunity to stand in the presence of the tutelage of so awesome a mind? Well, there are those, my brothers and sisters, that when I tell you or even seek to compel you to realize what the scripture means when it says, Most High will bring all things to remembrance. How about a comprehension of all the Most High has spoken for the restitution and strengthening of his people since the world began? All those things that this generation has not seen, he can still reveal and let you see what has happened in the past and what is to come. What the Most High declared from the beginning as the eventuality, that you might truly walk on a path and not be led astray from him. Did they tell you, my brothers and sisters, about that power? Or did they prefer that where they've hid the truth, it should remain hid from you? Which did they do? Which did they do? Fatal flatterers could never tell you that our people have been wearied far from righteousness, because they all claim to be doing their job and their duty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have one all right, but it's not unto helping you. It's only to exploit you. If they didn't tell you who Messiah said he is, when he said in Revelation 22:16, if they didn't tell you who Messiah said that he is, according to all the prophets, when he said he's the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star, if they didn't tell you who Messiah is, then they didn't tell you what to expect. They didn't tell you that nobody who would add or take away from the word is not welcome. They didn't tell you that those who love to speak lies are not welcome. They didn't tell you that those who have no intent to seek all divine commandments, they might preserve righteousness. They didn't tell you that they were not welcome, and only those, my brothers and sisters, who would be pure to a perfect word are acceptable. If they flattered you to fall victim to those who tell you that you're wise and your lack of conscience, well, if they didn't tell you need to seek all those who flatter men after
60 seconds,
and they compel men unto lawlessness rather than lawfulness, then it compel you not to understand the grace of Yah that he reveals his law, which exposes all worldly flaw. That's why he said he will write his laws upon the minds and hearts, not leaving you to those who would misteach you, that you be his people, that you be redeemed. It's time to understand the reality, my brothers and sisters. It's time to cease being so easily beguiled. For the Most High is going to establish his kingdom upon the people steadfast, who seek quickly to bring beyond the illusion, who don't fall for the kind of trickery that robbed Adam and Eve of the garden. Has man been tricked out of the garden not to return, not to prepare to return to the beauty, till they understand,
brothers and sisters,
that we must all learn again what are the commandments of Yah, that we preserve such beauty. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, Shabbat Shalom. Seek all that is complete before the Most High, as the Shabbat declares, unto his might, honor, and his praise, in his praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. May the Most High, by his Spirit, guide his people to discern the full implication of a blessed word.
faces, smiling faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, smiling faces. Tell